Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is so good to be here, to be in God's house, and to see all of you that are here today. It is a great privilege to be alive in this time of Earth's history. Amen. I do believe that we are very close to the end of time. But in the meantime, there is a special work that we have to do. And I believe that God has called each of you to be a part of that work in one way or another. And on this very special occasion, we want to reflect a little bit on the great call that God has given to us, especially in these last days. It is good to see all of you that are here, families of our students and friends. It is a joy to have you here at Eden Valley. If this is your first time, we welcome you to this ministry. We know that our guests are finishing their course or their lifestyle program today as well, and they'll be leaving. So we are glad that the Lord has brought you all here for this time. And now, as you go home, He definitely have great plans for your lives. Every year at the end of a graduation or at the end of a course, it's always a very solemn thing. In fact, we normally don't even call this a graduation because of children of God, we are never graduated. This is a dedication or a consecration service. Amen? In fact, you haven't studied anything as yet. I'm talking to you all now. Yeah, you're just starting. But it is good to see how God's been blessing all of you during this time. And I thank God for the work that he's been doing with the education team, with Phyllis leading the team. We, as an institute, we're really grateful for your work, Phyllis, with Lewis by your side. We also have Connie and Adner serves on the education committee. They have their role as well. We have the kitchen team, and for the staff members who chipped in, Laurel, Daryl, that's been there, and Kara, Steve. All of you just been there throughout these months. This has been a great blessing. And also all the teachers for this course. It's just been a blessing to see the staff members that are busy with other appointments on the campus. And at the same time, they are able to take time to teach classes for our program. That is a blessing. So we are very grateful for that. And just everyone on campus. You may not have stood up to teach a class, but in every different way, you've been a teacher in some way or another. Amen. You've been involved. And so we praise God for all that He has done during this time. Now, somehow, I kind of felt like someone else should have given the charge. Because I felt like I've seen you all so many times, and I've taught how many classes this semester, and so in my mind, I'm like, what's left for the last guy? What else can I say? Well, I think the Lord has something. You know that, Nick? He always has something for us. Amen. And so, for those who have come from far, it is so good to see you. Please enjoy our campus. And as the students mentioned, that project that they're thinking of, I think it's going to be a great blessing. That will refresh that area of our campus greatly. It's dazzling and sizzling out there in the snow. I was telling someone yesterday that, you know, I lived in the south for some time, and the snow here is so different from the snow in the south or the east coast. It's a powdery kind of snow over here. It's so different. And when you walk by, it's like diamonds in the snow. And so, as I was coming in this morning, and the sun is so nice out there, it's just glistening away. It's like diamonds, and God has blessed us. I think God has given all of you this special white day, students, that you can enjoy a little bit. And I think it's a lesson God wants to remind us of the purity of Jesus' white robe that he wants to give to all of us today. Before I enter into this charge, I'd like to have a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word and to reflect on inspiration and to think on the many things you've given us and the great call that you've given, especially in these last days. I pray now, Lord, that you will just give us a word from heaven, and that this word will stay in our hearts forever, we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I'll try to connect directly, if this cooperates with us today. It's interesting to just realize how and what God is doing in our lives, especially in these last days. Friends, I do believe we have come to a very special time in Earth's history, and my mind goes back a little bit to a word that was given to Esther many years ago when you read through the Bible. And Mordecai was speaking to her concerning a moment when she needed to take a stand and she needed to do something special. And the question was, who know if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And that's been ringing in my ear throughout this week. Who knows if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What time it is? It is high time, the Bible says, that we be awake out of sleep. Yeah? It is also a time when God is looking for those who will stand for Him though the heavens fall. It is a time that those who will stand for God in these last days will have to have a special and very vitalizing experience with God, because in order to stand and in order to make it count and in order to give up everything for the Master, it's going to require your all and my all. So I can see it here. So you pray now that you're able to see it there. Is it back? All right, here we go. Good. And so your theme that you chose for the weekend troubled me. Come up higher. That's a very solemn one there. Come up higher. So I thought I would blend in and I would call my part of it higher than the highest. Because the higher you go with God, He's still telling you, come up higher. And still a little higher. What a theme. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Higher than the highest. In Revelation chapter 4, we see this idea of coming up higher. This is when an angel of the Lord was speaking. I'd go ahead and read that verse. There's a few places in the Bible where you see this phrase, come up higher. Not very many places. And there also are a few places in the Bible where you will see the phrase, higher than the highest. And so let's go ahead and think about this one. In Revelation chapter 4 and verses 1 on down, after these things I looked. Who is speaking here? John, right. We've talked about Revelation during one of our classes. So John says, after these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking unto me or with me, saying, come up higher, and I will show you things to come. Then it says, I will show you things that must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on it, and the rest of the story, John got into almost, as it were, a vision where the angel speaking to him. But notice the phrase came out of it. As he saw the angel, he heard as it was a voice saying, come up higher. Today, God is calling his children on this earth to come up higher. Come up higher in what? He's saying, come up higher in the way that we are living today. He's saying, come up higher in the things that we're doing. He is expecting even more of us. He's saying, you have been doing a wonderful job, but I still have something even higher for you. God is saying, you have spent 5 months out of your busy schedule. You could be doing anything else, but he said, come up higher, come apart, and I will show you something different. It was about 15 to 16 years ago when I did a course like what you did, and somehow during that time in the graduation ceremony, I was there thinking, Lord, what's next? What would you have me to do? Not knowing that this same call was coming, come up higher. In my mind, I was thinking to do other things, but in the mind of Christ, he had a higher plan for me. And he has the same for you today. And somehow, I remember very clearly that day while I was sitting and the charge was given. In my heart, as Jeremiah puts it, I felt like fire shut up in my bones. I felt like life would never be the same again after this day. I felt like there was a special calling that God had on my life, and during the ceremony, I was, as it were, taken aback, reflecting on all the years that I've lived, and then I started to think, Lord, what do you have for the future? And as I reflect during this week, as I thought about today, I reflected on during that time, all those years, and what the Lord has done. Not just what he has done, but how many times I had to bow down and just say, thank you, Lord, because without you, I can't do anything. And so this morning, I'd like to focus with you a little bit on one of the higher callings that God has in our lives. He has many of them, but there is a very high calling. There is a message that should go to the entire world. And for our friends that are here today, I'd like to encourage you, as you think about the verses we're about to read, think about what God wants to do in your life. In the book of Revelation chapter 14, thank you, CC, for reading that. Revelation chapter 14, we have a very special message. If you have your Bibles, just stay there. We'll be there for a few minutes. We're going to look at the special call. We're going to look at the time that we're living in and how this is relevant, especially to those that are finishing a course today. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. It would be nice to go to the end of the chapter. Because of time, we will reflect briefly on some points in these two verses. Verse 6 says, then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. What do they have? The everlasting gospel to do what? To preach to them that dwell on the earth, right? To every what? Nation. What else? Tongue and saying with a loud voice. What is it saying? Fear God and do what? Give him glory, for the hour of his is come. And what? Worship? Heavens and the earth. What else? fountains of water. Notice very interestingly, here in verse 6, we see another angel. Well, it says another. That means there were some angels before, or at least one before? Yes. So when you read through the book of Revelation, you will see the idea of angels all over the book of Revelation. Angels represents messengers of the Lord. So in this case, we are not expecting that we will see an angel flying in the midst of heaven and preaching this everlasting gospel that is mentioned. Angel represents messenger. So in this case, Revelation chapter 14 is referring to those that will live in the last days. They will be, by God's grace, we will be messengers of the Lord. So the angel saying, fear God, the angel flying in the midst of heaven. Notice that this gospel is not some one nation gospel. This gospel is not just for one continent of the world. This gospel should go to every part of the world. Are you with me? And so, I'm thinking on all of you who are here this morning that God is saying to us, there is a gospel. What's the word gospel means? What's the meaning of that word? Good news. That's right. So there is a good news that needs to go to all the worlds. And according to Paul, in the book of Romans, he talks about this news or this gospel, the gospel of peace that should go to all the world. Friends, God is calling all of us to be a part of this final movement, this preaching of the good news to people around the world. Now, why do we need to preach this good news? Why do we need to take this gospel to the entire world? Why do we need to take this to Cameroon? Why do we need to sometime reflect and think there somehow this message needs to go to Indonesia? Why do we need to take this message when the world that we're living in, many people are professing that they have a message, but God is saying this message needs to go to all the world? And somehow, God is calling upon you and I to take this message to the world. Now, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Is this an easy task? What do you think? Is this an easy one? Yeah. So, it be not easy. You're saying it's hard? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. So, it's challenging. It's a challenging call. But if you are like me, I love challenges. Not because there's anything in me, but because I know there's a God that helps to take us through challenges. And when you read through the Bible, you will see that many times God's men are called upon in the midst of a great challenge. I remember as I reflect this week on this message and I reflect on how many times God has called his men come up higher. I remember in the time of Israel when the men of Israel and the leaders were not following the principles of God and God was calling upon someone who would come up higher and help the nation to move forward. He called Elijah. Elijah gave a powerful message, but the people would not believe the message. In fact, the people sought to kill Elijah. Elijah had to be running in the wilderness. The man of God was running up and down in the wilderness without food, but God provided. That was a challenge, but God provided food for him. And then later, when Elijah came back on the scene and Elijah started saying, hey, you are not following the Lord. In fact, Elijah was blamed because of the drought. Elijah was told, it is you, why we're experiencing this. And Elijah said, no, it's you and your house. You're not following. And eventually, Elijah had to go up higher on Mount Carmel for a challenge. Elijah didn't really want that challenge. Elijah only wanted to please God and serve God, but it came to the point where Elijah needed to come up, to go up higher and to stand in the place of God on the mountain. Elijah gave his all to God, and when the Baal prophets prayed and they were all cutting up themselves and going on for hours and hours, it came time when Elijah needed to stand in the gap for God. And I dare say to each and every one of us this morning, especially those who are finishing a course, that there is need and there is the call this morning to stand in the gap for God. Elijah stood in his place. Notice the message needs to go to the entire world. It is a challenging task. It is a very comforting one as well, to know that God will help, that the gospel will go around the world. But notice four things that is mentioned in verse 7. In the first section of verse 7, it says, fear God. Part of the message is to do what? Fear God. Is that saying that we should be afraid of God? No. What is it saying then? Reverent God. Honor God, not men. That's right, David. So we're reverencing God. We're honoring God. We are, as David would put it, that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. It's talking about honoring God. It's talking about respecting God and His commandments. This is the message in Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. So it says, fear God, but there's the other word that you're going to see coming up in a few minutes here, where it says, and give Him what? Glory. Glory. Don't miss that word. Fear God and give glory to Him. How do we give glory to Him? Well, several verses will help us to remember that whatsoever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. There's another verse that says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It talks about that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and therefore we were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And whatsoever we do, we should do all to the glory of God. So giving God glory. Four things comes out at verse 7. Fear Him. Build a sermon on that. I never. Give Him glory. That's for you, Nick. And then the third one says, the hour of His judgment has come. I can see Kyla preparing something on that. The hour of His judgment has come. Just build a sermon on that. What's the judgment? What's the hour? And when is the judgment? What's going on now? And how God is interceding. Jesus is interceding for all of us, that through the intercession, we all, by God's grace, can make it into the kingdom of God. And then, so that's the third one. The hour of His judgment has come. And then, you know, the last one, worship. Worship Him. When we study the book of Revelation, you see this phrase worship coming all over and over again. And I dare say to all of us this morning, this final phrase, worship Him. All around the world, people are seeking for worship, but worship belongs only to God. As we come to the last days, we will see that there are many who are excited about worship and lifting up themselves. But here, the Bible is reminding the only one that deserves and who honor and glory and worship belongs to, that is God. By the way, as we come closer to the last days, you will see, beloved friends, that the contest, the great controversy, the struggle, the issues will all be about worship. And there are some very interesting things that are going on in our world today. And it's going to take those that are called to stand up and said, I will worship only God. And I will please only God. And when others want me to think or to do otherwise, I will only stand on the Word of God. And so this is a special time in your lives. A call that God has placed on you now to impact your world, wherever that is going to be. It's a very special call. By the way, I want to read some quotes or some encouraging words for you this morning. I thought I would just reflect with you on some things. Watch this. Medical ministry. Just take some notes. Medical ministry, page 259. Some encouraging thoughts for you this morning. The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the word. It is the Lord's design that the restoring influence of health reform shall be part of the last great effort to proclaim the gospel message. We just heard about the gospel message. We just heard about the angel that's flying, or the people of God who will be given the message in these last days. Medical missionaries, look at what it says. The connection with health, or teaching health, restoration should be linked with the gospel message. We're told, in fact, that never should the message of restoration of the body should be separated from the gospel message. It is one and the same, we are told. There's also another quote, as you prepare for your work, medical missionaries, we are told that if we would elevate the moral, notice the word, moral standard in any country where we may be called to go, we must begin by correcting what? Physical habits. Why is that so important? For those of you who study the mind and understand the concepts of the mind and how the physical habits affects the mind, you will realize why God is saying, hey, wherever you go to work, begin by correcting their physical habits. By correcting their physical habits, the brain will be changed, the mindset will be changed, and therefore you are better able to proclaim the everlasting gospel. So it's about a preparation. God wants the heart to be prepared. And many hearts are not ready until physical habits are changed. Do you see? Then we come now to Revelation chapter 18. We see verse 1, a very beautiful passage of scripture. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. We are talking about that word glory. Notice a couple of things in Revelation 18, verse 1. Number one, John saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. In other words, friend, the message that we have for these last days, it is not some pitiful, simple message. It is a message that will be empowered from heaven. God himself will give all the power so the message can go forward. We don't need to worry about power. We don't need to worry, how will I give the message? The angel from heaven will give all we need to proclaim the message. It says the earth was lightened with his glory. Notice it says he cried with a strong voice. Somebody in my class some days ago, we mentioned this idea about that loud cry, or crying aloud, David. It's the message will come with a great strong voice. In other words, the message will be so prominent, the message will be so powerful that nothing will be able to stop the message. Friends, nothing can stop God and his message for these last days. Notice it's a people to come out. It's an appeal, to God's people to come out. In other words, this message is a call. It's a call. And somehow, God is offering that call to you and I today. Perhaps you have heard the voice of God years ago. Perhaps you've heard the voice of God in time past, but God is saying, my voice, the angel that I'm sending, is giving you that call. And how long will that call be? How long the call will be there? My friends, I tell you today that I am not very sure on how long will this call continue, because time will not be forever. And God is seeking to prepare people. So watch me now. His glory, we talked about his glory, Revelation chapter 14, when it says, give glory to God. In Exodus 33, 18 and 19, Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. I want to see your glory. I want to see what you are, who you are, and what you're able to do. And look at what God said to Moses. Moses, you really want to see my glory? Well, this is a challenge, Moses, but I'll pass by. And what's going to pass by you, what you're going to see is this. God's goodness, he said, I'll let my goodness pass by. His name, which represents His character, His grace, and also God's mercy will be passing by Moses. This is what I want to show you. Medical missionary work is more than just giving a hot bath. Amen. Medical missionary work is more than cooking and, not cooking now, let me even make it a little better. It's more than eating the rawest diet than you can imagine. A raw diet. And we have a queen of the raw diet here. Medical missionary work is all about, like God passing by Moses, it's all about working with people and allowing the goodness of God to work in and through us. It's about being merciful. It's being kind. It's being gracious. As the songwriter says, let your heart be broken for a world in need. Medical missionary work. Look at Exodus 34. It says, merciful. Who is merciful? Gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. And then it says forgiving and also is a God of justice. Friends, this work will call for all the following. This work will require a complete surrender. This work will require us to be so high, so close to the Lord, because without God we will not be able to demonstrate these things. And so God is saying, come up higher. Come up higher in your thinking. Come up higher in our attitude. Come up higher in the way that we look at things. Come up higher in our estimation of others. Come up higher. Because in order for you to truly represent me in these last days and represent my glory, you will need to be one with me. In fact, we're told that when the character of Christ is fully reproduced in His people, He will see that and He will identify that fact. And when that is done, Jesus will come and take us to His home with Him. So what is God waiting for to take us home? His character to be revealed in us. That is it. That is it. So now, let's put this together. When the Lord sees His people restricting their imaginary wants and practicing self-denial, not in a mournful, regretful spirit, as Lot's wife when they left Sodom, but joyfully for Christ's sake and because it is the right thing to do, the work will go forward with what? With power. Notice what will happen when the self-denial, not trying to be mournful on the call God has given. Man, I can't believe I have to do all this work and I have to deny so many things in my life, right? No. It is when joyfully we're saying, this is what God wants me to do. Let's go. Let nothing, however dear, however love, absorb your mind and affections, diverting you from the study of God's Word or from earnest prayer. Watch unto prayer, we are told. Live your own requests. Cooperate with God. Don't miss that, friends. Cooperate with God by working in harmony with Him. Expel from the soul temple everything that assumes the form of an idol. Cast out every idol. Cast out every foe, we are told. Now is what? It's God's time. I wish you can say that with me today. Now is God's time. And His time is your time. Fight the good fight of faith. Refusing to think or to talk on belief. The world is to hear the last warning message. Notice, friends, now is the God's time. And God's time is our time. Fight the good fight of faith, refusing to think or talk on belief. Never doubt in your work. Never think that God is not able to do it. And when you feel like you're not able to move forward, just remember that God is with you in your work. God is with you in your work. Notice the verse here in John chapter 15 verse 20. Remember the word that I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. The Lord Jesus went through struggles. The Lord Jesus lifted up his Father. The Lord Jesus in his work, he sought not to please himself, but to please his Father. And therefore, if he did all of that, the Lord Jesus sacrificed for us. The Lord Jesus did everything so that we can have eternal life. And today that eternal life may be for you and for me today. And here comes where my title comes from, Higher Than the Highest. This is where it comes from. In Education, page 18, one of my favorite books says, Higher Than the Highest Human Thought Can Reach is God's ideal for His children. What is the ideal? Higher than the highest. But watch this. Godliness, God-likeness is the goal to be reached. Before the student, here is open a path of continual, what's the word? Progress, beloved friend. Higher than the highest. Progress. He has an object to achieve, a standard to attain that includes everything good, pure, and noble. He will advance as fast and as far as possible in every branch of true knowledge. Notice the words that I use. Progress. Continual progress. Advancing. Always coming up higher and higher. Always allowing God to lead in our lives. Notice godliness, God-likeness is our goal. We can study all the books in this earth, but I tell you, friends, the higher than the highest is not from books. It is a complete connection and a complete commitment with God. And so as we close, think with me on a few things this morning. John Wesley puts it this way, catch and fire with enthusiasm, Hanover. And people will come for miles to watch you burn. Yes, Stephen, think about it. Catch on fire with enthusiasm and people will come for miles to watch you burn. In fact, we are told that many of the men in the Great Reformation, some of the men that died, they died singing, and many people came to watch them burn. And as they were burning and dying, these people left there and said, if these men can give so much for God, I want to be like them. Amazing. Watch this. Don't forget this. Don't take a boat where God wants you to walk. Oh, yeah. Don't take a boat where God wants you to. Easy is not an option. When we give our lives to God, we are not applying for some easy, cheesy kind of work. We're applying to do what needs to be done. We're saying, God, I want to be used and to be used up for you and your glory. And watch this. Ralph Waldo Emerson puts it this way, do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. It is easy to like to see the path smooth out, Diana. Oh, everything is so smooth. Everything is in place. It is set and it's all ready to go. But no, don't think about that too much. Go where there is no path. What that means, you will need to make a trail. And listen to me. If you've ever been a pathfinder and you need to make a trail in the woods, we're talking about the Amazon in Brazil or Guyana. I've been there. And if you need to make a trail where there's no trail, that's hard work. It's hard work. It's going to take everything, your everything, to truly make a path where there is no path. It is easy to work where everything is flowing nicely. But sometimes God calls us to work where there's nothing going on and we have to make a path. Oh, friends, this is a call. This is the call. We don't know exactly how we will call and what exactly we'll do, but what we can be sure of today is that He will be with us. Is that we don't have to worry, how will I make the path? What do I need? Whenever God calls us, He gives us the tool so that we can get His work done. He has given you many tools for these months, and He still has a lot more to give to you. Now let me quote from one of your favorite books. There is an abundance. No, there is an eloquence far more powerful than the eloquence of words in the quiet, consistent life of a pure, true Christian. What a man is has more influence than what he says. Friends, I read something many years ago that says, preach the word, but when necessary, with your mouth. It is not so much what you're going to say as a medical missionary. It's not how many health lectures you're going to give. It's about how you live. Because people see more than what we say. It is what's deep down, and people can look through you. Let me remind you this morning. People can look through you. And people will know if it's just words.
if you're just giving a lecture, or you indeed, the lecture is in you. I encourage you this morning. Let me continue in your favorite book. Oh, you love it. The strongest argument in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. Strongest argument. Loving and lovable. So you see, we talk about the angel preaching. It is not so much on the pulpit. It is just being loving and lovable. It is your attitude. It is the way you look at things. Watch me now. To live such a life, to exert such an influence, costs at every step self. Come on, don't sleep. Self? And what else? Oh, you're sleeping. Oh, you're praying. Oh, it's white. Oh, whiter than snow. Lord, whiter than snow. All right. Well, you can't see. Let me help you now. Oh, what is it white? It's blue here. Oh, it's white there and blue here. What's going on? All right. So it says, to live such a life, to exert such an influence, costs at every step, effort, self-sacrifice, and discipline. I'm so sorry that it's so white. Self-sacrifice and discipline, Nick. And then now, watch this. We're called. We are never called upon to make a real sacrifice for God. Have you heard the term, oh, I sacrifice all? Oh, I did so much and I gave up so... Really? We are never called upon to make a real sacrifice for God. Many things He asks us to yield to Him. But in doing this, we are but giving up. Watch this. That which hinders us in the heavenward way. Sometimes we think we have this great dream. We have great things going on. And God said, no, give it to me. Give it up. And you say, how can I? And then you realize, later, you're going to realize. Many times you don't realize in the moment, by the way. It is later you realize, now I see why God took that away from me, because that was hindering me from getting closer to Him and in the kingdom. So let's finish with this couple of lines. Let me be as the bullock which stands between the plow and the altar, to work or to be sacrificed, and let my motto be ready for either. The plow or the altar? The plow or the altar? Friends, this is the position of the true child of God, willing to go where duty calls, to deny self, to sacrifice for the Redeemer's cause. And so as you finish your course this morning, God is saying to you, I have a higher calling. And there is much to be done. God is saying to you and I, it is time for us to come up higher. Higher than the highest, the character of God is calling to be in our hearts. And so I close with this final quote that says, God has qualified. Who has qualified? God. And that is not just for medical missionary students today. I'd like to say for all of us. God has qualified His children to enlighten the world. He has entrusted them with faculties by which they are to extend His work until it shall encircle the globe. The globe. In all parts of the earth, they are to establish sanitarium or lifestyle centers, schools, mission schools, publishing houses, kindred facilities for the accomplishment of His work. This is your call today. Who has qualified you? God. Then it says, the closing message, finishing the quote, says, the closing message of the gospel is to be carried to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, Revelation 14:6, in foreign countries, many enterprises for the advancement of this message must yet begin and carried forward. The opening of hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms and the establishment of sanitariums or lifestyle centers for the care of the sick and the suffering is just as necessary in Europe as in America, and obviously in South America. and also in Africa, all over the world, this is the call for us. In many lands, medical missions are to be established to act as God's helping hand in ministering to the afflicted. And so my question for all of us this morning, are you ready? The world is waiting. The world is waiting. And Jesus is saying to you and I today, says, as I have walked, walk in my footsteps. Just surrender and just allow me to work in your life.